Okay, good morning, everybody. We're dealing with halachas for Erev Shabbos, and we'll continue on the next small topic. I have a few more to deal with as we go along. So, well, let's touch on the topic of Shnai Mikra v'Echad Targum. There are many reasons brought down for this mitzvah, and a big discussion as to what's the source of it and how old it is. Ad kedei kach that some say that it was when Moshe Rabbeinu was metaken that they should have weekly laning. He was also metaken that people should do Shnai Mikra v'Echad Targum. It's as old as that. And many reasons given, but the simplest I would say is that it was a way of making sure that a person would have familiarity with the Torah Shebichtav, and thereby, if you make a mitzvah that a person needs to achil, that a person needs to read from the parsha every week, so every year he goes through the whole Torah, then that will bring familiarity with the sukkah. Therefore, a lot of the poskim say that when doing Shnai Mikra, one should do it in a way that one understands what one's doing. So Chazal discuss what is the Targum. So the Pashtus is that Targum is what we call Targum Unklus. Targum Unklus, according to Rishonim, was the Targum that was given in Sinai, and it was forgotten. And Unklus reinstated it, and that's how it was named after him. But essentially, it's considered Nitna Sinai. It has a certain Kedusha to it, and therefore the correct thing to do is to read each Pasuk twice and then read the Targum on that Pasuk. Some say that since it has to do with Havana, and meaning understanding, and today we don't understand the Targum so well, it's not common language that we speak. Some people see it more difficult in Lashon HaKodesh. Therefore, it's more important to read the Mefarshim, in particular Rashi, because Rashi is short and concise and all-inclusive. He pulls the Mamore Chazal, where Targum makes a difference. The Pshat and the Pasuk, he brings the Targum. The Maaseh it's a Machlokas. If you can't do both, which one should you choose? The Mashal says to choose Rashi, and the Kabbalim say to choose Targum. So, in summary, it means that there is a chiyuv on a person to read the parasha twice, and to read the Targum, whether that means Targum Unklus or Rashi, one time. How to do it, how to divide it up, we'll discuss in a moment, but before we get there, we'll add one more prat. Is our woman chayev in Shnai Mikra v'Echad Targum? So it's brought down, I haven't seen anybody who's choylik on it, but it's brought down that the women are not chayev in Shnai Mikra v'Echad Targum. But, interesting, Rav Novid in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa brings an Aruch HaShulchan that says that it's kedai for women to go to shul and hear Kriyas HaTorah. And Rav Ovadia Yosef writes that if a woman wants to do Shnai Mikra v'Echad Targum, there is no isur and it is commendable. So there's no chiyuv, but if they want, they may. There's no isurs either. So we'll just mention a couple of halachas that are pertain to it, just to not skip over this whole sugya, and that is that Chazal learn v'chayev adam lehashlim haparshes in hatzibur shnai mikra v'echad targum, which is actually hinted to in the first two words of Sefer Shmos, v'eile Shmos b'nei Yisrael, is how the Parsha Shmos starts off. V'eile stands for v'chayev adam lehashlim haparshes. Shmos stands for shnai mikra v'echad targum. And it says that a person who does so, he is zocher to arichas yamin v'shanim. They ask, what does it mean, arichas yamin v'shanim? Why mention he'll have long days if you say he's going to have long years? And the answer is that even old people should do it because they get their days become longer and not just that they have more years. Now, a lot of Mepharshim point out that shouldn't be incentive, but that's the matan svara b'tzida, that's the reward for it. The parsha should be read in the week that leads up to the parsha Tashavua. So this week is the parsha's Balak. So this is the week to prepare Shnai Mikra v'Echad Targum. There's multiple machlokas in as to how and when to do it. And what seems to be the bottom line is you can find the best way to do it according to what is considered the most accepted practice. But on the other hand, I would say also for someone who's short of time or someone who lacks the motivation or hasn't got a fixed schedule or whatever, the best is to find the way that works best for you. That's from personal experience. is if you find a way that works best for you, then you know you'll be going to do it. If you find a way to try to do it with all the chumras, you end up losing steam and giving up on it, and then you lose out totally. And therefore, just mention a couple of ways. Number one is some say you read the Pasuk twice and then you read the Targum. Others say, no, you read the Pasuk once, then the Targum, and then the Pasuk again. The Chazon Ish did it that way with explanation that when I once have read the Targum, so that I have a better understanding of the Pasuk. So when I read the Pasuk the second time, I read it with better understanding. Since, as we said, part of this mitzvah is to come to an understanding of what it says in the Torah, so it helps that I've read the Targum before I read the Pasuk. So, no, don't read the Targum first. That's not recommended. In fact, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says if you read the Targum first, it doesn't count, and you've got to read it again afterwards. But perhaps read the Pasuk once, then the Targum, and then the Pasuk again. Others say, no, twice Mikra, and then Targum. There's a discussion also, do you do Pasuk, each Pasuk individually, the Pasuk, and then the Targum, and then the next Pasuk, and it's Targum, or do you do section, again, different opinions, and thirdly, when is the timing? Do you do it on a Friday? Do you do it Friday night? Do you do it Shabbos morning? Or do you do it the whole week? Again, different opinions. The Vilna Gaon would do a section of the parsha every single day after davening. They say the Chazon Ish did it that way, and he kept a little bit to be done after Shachris of Shabbos morning, because he said then you kaim on it says lahashlim parshiyosav im hatzibur, to complete your parsha with the public, meaning when the public does their laning on Shabbos morning, you're also finishing your reading of the parsha. So to do it, to finish it up on Shabbos morning, he says is the most appropriate. And of course, as I said, here everything has two opinions, all three or four, and there are those who say no, it should be done on Friday, it should be done Friday after the mikvah, Friday before mincha, Friday after mincha, Friday night, many different opinions. So basically, as I said, again, a person, my opinion is, not that I'm choosing one over another, is that a person should choose the way that works best for him. One doesn't start doing the parshas of the One doesn't do start doing Shnei Mishlecha Targum of the Parsha until that Parsha has started B'tzibur. Meaning, you can't do Parsha's Pinchas, even if you finish Parsha's Balak today, on Tuesday, so you say tomorrow I'll do Parsha's Pinchas and I'll get ahead. That doesn't count. Pinchas has to be read in the week of Pinchas and Balak has to be read in the Parsha of Balak. So when is the starting time? Most Poskim hold starting time is when it gets lain for the first time, B'tzibur, which means on Shabbos afternoon. On Shabbos afternoon at Mincha, we have laning, and we read the beginning of the next parsha, what follows what we've lained in the morning. So in the morning, we're going to read Parshas Balak, and afternoon, we'll read Parshas Pinchas. As soon as you've heard Kriyas HaTorah, B'tzibur, then you can start doing Shnei Mikra for the new week. Some say it's a theoretical time, and some say it's a practical time, the Ma'anav Kamina. Here in Eretz Yisrael, it's very common. They have a mincha at 1:30 on Shabbos afternoon. So that means from 1:30 Shabbos afternoon, you can start doing Shnei Mikra over the next week. Even though you are only going to get to the mincha at 7 o'clock in the afternoon, some say no, only when you have davened mincha ready, then you can start doing the parshas for the next week. The deadline is to finish it before the next week. So before the next week starts, you've got to have this week finished. That's why the Gemara brings, one of the Amoraim told his children that they should finish Shnei Mishlecha Targum before the meal on Shabbos morning, not because the meal was the deadline time, but he said if you start eating, then you're going to get carried away and you won't leave yourself enough time to finish it afterwards, and therefore don't sit down to eat until you've done it. B'dievet, if a person missed it, there is a catch-up time, and that is, there's two opinions of how much, and the one opinion is till Tuesday afternoon, because we say that the 3 days that follow Shabbos are connected to the Shabbos before, and therefore there is still some connection to the previous Shabbos, and if you've missed the deadline, so you have at least till Tuesday, and some hold that it's a yearly cycle, and if you didn't finish it in its appropriate time, at least you should finish before the yearly cycle has ended, and that means before they read for Chasen Torah and Simchas Torah, the end of Parshas Vezos HaBracha, that you have to get your Shnei Mikra finished, and that's why very often on the Shana Rabbah people spend their day catching up whatever they missed out. If you missed a Pasuk, again, there's a machlokas how to catch it up. Some say just read the pasuk that you missed. Others say everything should be read in order, and therefore would also mean the same thing, that if you didn't finish your parsha on time, you didn't finish by Shabbos morning, and now you're catching it up on Sunday, so what's better, to start the new parsha and catch it up afterwards? Meaning, this coming Sunday, you realize you've still got a few psukim left for Parshas Balak. So can you start Parshas Pinchas, and when you've done your quota for the day, then you catch up the psukim of Balak? Or do you do Balak fast first and then Pinchas? Most opinion hold that you should first finish off Balak and then only move on to the new parsha, that it should all be read in the order that it appears. Well, that's basically a sum up of the halakha of Shnayim Mikra Targum. Again, there are many, many opinions on how it should be done, and my recommendation is to always do it in the way that works best for you so that you actually do it. The next mini subject that I'd like to talk about is what people call Toya Meha. Halakha brought in the Mishnah Berurah the Magen Avraham, that part of preparation of the food on Erev Shabbos is to check the quality of the food to make sure that it is in order and tastes good, so that you increase the tanug, the enjoyment that you're going to have for the food, that it should be well cooked and well spiced, enjoyable to everybody. So it's important to pre-taste it to make sure that it tastes good. Essentially, that's the basis of this mitzvah that people call Toya Meha, is that you go to the kitchen and you see all the dishes that are prepared for Shabbos, and you take a taste out of each dish to ascertain that it has been properly cooked through, it's not gone bad, it's got enough salt, it's got enough pepper. It's got too much salt, you want to do something about it. That's the basic halacha. And if that's the case, essentially only one person needs to do that. If you hold that it's just a question of making the food taste good, so then one person goes and tastes the food and knows, and that's good enough. However, there's two other comments made over here. The Arizal says that there's a remez, there's a hint to this mitzvah from what we say in the Musaf Shemona Esrei on Shabbos, it's a Musaf for Shabbos morning. We say Toya Meha Chaim Zochu. Someone who tastes it will merit life. And he says, and therefore there's a mitzvah to taste the food. So the question is, what does he mean by saying it's a mitzvah? Is that a mitzvah just like on Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to eat the food that has been prepared? And some say that Arizal actually hold that that's taka a mitzvah, that you don't just have a piece of dry bread, a beautiful suda has been prepared, and you decide all you want is challah and dessert, and then skip everything in between. No, there's a mitzvah to try every dish that has been prepared. Have a little piece of fish, a little piece of meat, a little piece of kugel, a little bit of rice, whatever it is. Have a little bit if you're not hungry, or you don't feel like eating more, or you're not in the mood for it. Have a little bit. There's a mitzvah to taste everything that was prepared for Shabbos. That's mitzvah cover Shabbos. So the same thing, there's a mitzvah to try everything on Friday night and Friday night. So Shabbos morning, there's the same mitzvah on Friday afternoon to try it out. But most explain that no, it's not just a din, I need to eat the Shabbos food on Friday. That's not what is referred to over here, but rather what he means to say is that there's a chiyuv on each and every person to do covered Shabbos, and that means to make sure the food is good. The same way, if you're going to have a chosh of a guest coming, so you make it your business to go to the kitchen to make sure that everybody is doing what they need to do, and you check that the food is correct. So too, come Shabbos, you want to have the best food, so you go to the kitchen and you check that everything is of good quality. So it's yes, the idea behind it comes from the fact that you want to make sure the food is good. So why can't you rely on the people who are in the kitchen that they've done it? Because I also want to participate in this te'imah and show my kavod for Shabbos by also getting involved in the te'imah. So therefore, there's a machlokes over here. Is it good enough for one person in the household? As long as you say the food has been tested, fine. Check, done, no need to worry anymore. Or it's an individual mitzvah on each person to taste it. The Prima Godim asks an interesting question, and he says, if someone is fasting on a Friday, how does he test the food? And they all say, well, what's the question? Get someone else to test it. Why did the Prima Godim come to that conclusion? Why did he have to ask, what was bothering him? And he says, the answer is to taste and not swallow. The Isra on the Tanis is to eat food, it's part of the swallowing, but tasting food is not Asur. and therefore taste the food and don't swallow. Why didn't you say someone else should do it? It appears to be that the prima donna is of the opinion that everybody has a chiyuv to do it. But again, even so, it seems to be that the mitzvah is to taste it in order that it should be good. Now, there's two parts to the tasting of the food. There's the Friday tasting, which is a tasting out of a critical tasting to see whether the food is good or not, whether it's spices, it's cooked through, or whatever, it's done the way it should be done. And the second thing is to eat on Shabbos, because there's a din of having oneg Shabbos. Obviously, on Shabbos, there's a point that if there's some food that you don't like, or you have an aversion to, an allergy to, whatever it is, makes no difference, then you're not mechuyev to do it, because as we say multiple times, Shabbos and Tarnit nit nevelay letzar nit. Now, Shachar Baruch Hu taught us to have the karos of the Shabbos oinig. You're supposed to have oinig, you're supposed to have Tarnit, enjoyment on Shabbos, and you're not supposed to torture yourself. And therefore, if eating a certain food you consider torturous, you consider it painful, you consider it uncomfortable, you're not mechuyev to put yourself into that uncomfortable situation in order to taste that food. And Shadur brings it down, the Gabi, we mentioned earlier, that there's a mitzvah to have fish on Shabbos. He says, someone who doesn't like fish doesn't have such a mitzvah. Because it's not that there's, oh, fish is going to make you holy, and therefore you need to eat fish to make you holy, and therefore you've got to eat it whether you like it or not. No, it's part of the Tanag of Shabbos to have fish. If, what then, there's a yearning behind it, but if you don't like it, you're not supposed to put yourself in Mokum Tzar. So obviously the same thing here, the guy be tasting all the foods that are prepared for Shabbos, you're not supposed to Mitzar yourself, you're not supposed to put yourself in pain. So therefore, if a person is fasting on the Erev Shabbos, either a private fast for a person who might be fasting, say, on a yard site, there's an end to fast on a yard site. And if he's fasting on the yard site, how do you taste the food? So, or a second example would be if it was a Sarah B'Teves, that's one of the fasts that can, one of the, it's the only fast that can fall out on a Friday. If a Sarah B'Teves falls on a Friday, what do you do about the mitzvah of Toyameh? The answer is taste and don't swallow. What about a bracha? The answer is not to make a bracha on it because you're not going to be swallowing. If it is Erev Shabbos Chazon, which means that we're dealing now in the middle of the 9 days, and you want to taste some of the fleishig food that you prepared for Shabbos, again, it's a mitzvah to taste it, but again, because it's fleishig, some right, you should not swallow. Again, there also, one should not swallow if it's fleishig. There are chokim on that, but that's the accepted psak. And then I just want to take a minute off to make an objection to a new type of behavior that has become unfortunately common in certain circles is they have a Toyameh party, or whatever they call it. I don't know. They always call it Toyameh, but it has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Toyameh. And hafuch et l'choira, it is also to participate, and it is, and you're not mekayim any mitzvah, hafuch you did an avera by participating in these things. What am I referring to? There are, I think it started off in hotels. People go away for Shabbos, they go to a hotel, and they've been traveling all Friday, they arrive at the hotel famished and hungry, and they can't wait for the evening for food, so the hotel puts out food on an Erev Shabbos, so that people should at least eat something. There's actually it's discussed in Halacha, that someone who will eat better with appetite at night, he should fast on Friday, but if it's going to be to his detriment, it's going to come out that he's going to be ravenous, he's going to be in a bad mood, he's not going to be happy or cause him to be depressed, then of course that's the wrong thing to do. He should not be fasting on Friday. So although we said that there's an issur of overeating on Friday, you're not allowed to have what we called a sudah she'en rogu b'bechol, to have the type of meal that is bigger than your average weekday meal is also on a Friday. But that doesn't mean you got to fast. It means you got to eat. You got to be in a good mood. A person should know his constitution of what he needs in order to keep him in the right frame of mind. On the one hand, not to overeat so that you have appetite. And when you have appetite, you enjoy your food much more. On the other hand, not to starve yourself so that you become depressed and upset and angry. So a person has to know what to do. So therefore, it became a thing that they put out food on Erev Shabbos. I how can you have a meal on Erev Shabbos? As I said, you're not supposed to have a meal on Erev Shabbos. So they gave it a name. They called it Tayam Ne'ah. What does it mean? Lu Yitzur was that the hotel opened the kitchen and gave everybody an opportunity to come in and take a spoonful of every dish that is going to be served over Shabbos, so that you can makayim the mitzvah of kovet that the Arizal talks about, that you want to make sure that the food is good and that you can, and it can be, and mainly you just take a small taste, and that way you're showing kovet Shabbos that I'm careful about my food, that I check it on Erev Shabbos, should be in good quality. That will be one thing. But when they make fresh dishes that have nothing to do with what's going to be eaten tonight, maybe it's taco, they will be serving chopped liver in the afternoon and chopped liver in the evening, so that it might be the same dish, but it's not really that it's they've taken a portion of the Friday night chopped liver and put it out in the dining room. They prepare a full meal for Friday afternoon, and they give it a name, they call it Tayam Ne'ah, and people go all out, and they eat themselves full, and by the time Friday night comes, they can't eat anymore, never mind those who accompany the Tayam Ne'ah with alcohol, and then they are intoxicated, and can't daven properly, and can't eat properly at night, it's Stamazoya, and Avla. But this has become common in hotels, in events. There are people that have, there are apparently, I've heard that there are shuls that offer Tayam Ne'ah before Mincha, which is like, why do you call it Tayam Ne'ah? Tayam Ne'ah means to taste the food that's going to be served Friday night. To someone who sets up what we call a kiddush, what we have on Shabbos morning after davening, you set up a kiddush, and the more lavish ones, they're going to have herring, and they're going to have chalent, and they're going to have kugel. So people do this on Friday as well. They put out all good foods, and people come and fresh themselves full, excuse the expression, but that's what they do. And then they can't eat Friday night. That's, in my opinion, that is not only are they not mekayim the mitzvah of Tayam Ne'ah Chaim Zochu, they're also over on the avera of overeating on a Friday, which is mefurash halacha we spoke about it previously. You're not supposed to overeat on a Friday, especially after the ninth hour. That what you can have a suda parogu bobi moshe chol is until the ninth hour of the day. After that, you can only have small snacks. So someone who eats more than that, that's lechore, it's a big problem. And I'm just putting in my two pennies worth for whatever that is, for whatever that counts. Somehow this has an effect on someone's lechore. And I'm not the only one. I've heard rabbonim complaining about it. So it's not like it's my invention, but I thought if we're talking about Tayam Ne'ah, I will add in this point that what has become common, unfortunately, to overeat of good quality foods on a Friday afternoon and give it the holy name of Tayam Ne'ah is unfortunately a perversion of the truth. One other point just remembered is there a din of Tayam Ne'ah in Bortel? I saw B'Shem of Chaim Kanievsky that he says, yes, not only do you need to taste your own food to check that it is spiced correctly and cooked through and all the rest, but even bought foods, you want to make sure that it hasn't, even though there it's done under a standard recipe and pretty much tastes the same every single week, but there's a possibility that it might have gone off, it wasn't refrigerated properly, or who knows what. And therefore, that just like you test your own food, you should also test bought food as a quality control being a kind term here. Okay, now I get in there. Just a list of miscellaneous halachas that have to do with preparation on Erev Shabbos, and then that will bring us hopefully to the end of this section, and from next week we'll move on to the dinim of Hadlachas Neiros. The Mishnah tells us that Samoch L'Chashecha Yoyma Adam B'Sech Beisai Isatim Haraftim Hadlikos Haner. When it is close to the night, meaning Shabbos has not yet come in, but it is very close to it, a person has a chiyuv to say, and the Taz explained this very nicely, we have a golden rule in Chinuch that it is the derech yamin makarvo smol dochkoi. There are times where you have to keep a certain closeness and a certain distance. You when educating your household members, there's sometimes you need to push them away, you need to be angry, you need to tell them off. Obviously control them, it's not wild anger. And the other times you need to be makariv them, you show love and closeness. So the Lashon of Chacham means you min makarva, use your right hand to be makarvin, to bring them close, with small dock and the left hand to push them. So there are times you need to do both simultaneously, where you're pushing them away and you bring them close, but obviously they said the yamin, the stronger hand, is the one that's makarv. That always should be the balance, that the kiruv is greater than the richuk. Therefore he says, chas v'shalom, a person should be angry or shout or do things that can cause a pain, and because it can lead to Chilul Shabbos. So therefore, when the Mishnah says, Issatim HaRav, then it's Beloshon question. Have you taken Maisus from all the things in the house? Have you made an Eruv for places where this would be applicable? And therefore, in our day and age, we'd add a couple of other things. Have you taken challah from the dough that you prepared? Have you turned off the light in the fridge? Have you set the time switches? These are the question shiner. And obviously, a person has to do it in a way that if the answer is no, so you say, great, so do it now. And not like, what type of shlemazel are you that doesn't do it? Because that can lead to problems. Chavrusa of mine told me that he heard that a shiner was brought to one of the local rabbonim. A child had the task of plugging in the platter on Erev Shabbos, and one Erev Shabbos he forgot, and he was so embarrassed that he hadn't plugged it in, so as soon as he realized his mistake, he plugged it in. But the problem was that he realized afterwards that he had plugged it in after Shkia. And now came the question, is that food considered as having been cooked on Shabbos or not, and may that food be eaten? The Maisa in that particular case, the Rav gave a heta. I don't remember it was because it was only 2-3 minutes after Shki, and therefore still Ben Ashmoshes. Not that it becomes mutter, but it's that you're not coin as a person if it was done Ben Ashmoshes, or because the food was fully cooked and therefore kept it warm. I don't remember all the details, but the Shaila was very poignant, and that interesting that the child, out of fear for embarrassment, went and did an Esau. This is what the Taz is talking about over here. The person should not create an atmosphere in the house that if someone doesn't do something, he fears retribution and therefore might come to do something but Esau. Therefore, here is one of the places where we say to talk Beloshon Rakos, say it nicely. So the first two points of the Mishnah, Satan Haraftim, he says, is in the form of a question. Have you done this and that? And as we said, you add on the various things that need to be done that we try to do in order to avoid problems. Covers on the Shabbos, on the switches, have you turned off the light in the fridge, etc. And the last thing that's brought in the Mishnah is Hadliko is Haner. You don't read it as a question, did you light the candles? But rather, please go and light the candles, a gentle reminder that it needs to be done. And of course, if you see the candles are lit already, there's no need to say it, but this is the way, this is what we point out, there's a mitzvah for a person to be on top of what's going on, but in a way that is refined and pleasant. So now there's a couple of interesting points. If you're having a Shabbos that has a Yom Tov on a Friday, whether it's Friday or Thursday and Friday, then you need to make Erev Tashilin. That's something to remember on Erev Yom Tov. You don't make Erev Tashilin on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you make it on Erev Yom Tov. If you're going to have 2 days of Yom Tov or Yom Tov and Shabbos, whether it's 2 days of Shana or in Chutzal, 2 days of Yom Tov or Yom Tov next to Shabbos, then you have to prepare candles for both nights, and it should be prepared in advance, and that the second night candles will also have been adjusted so that they can fit into the candlesticks, because you can't cut the wax and you can't melt the wax on Shabbos or Yom Tov, so it has to be prepared properly. Another thing to add to one's list of Erev Shabbos activities is to try remember to open any containers, whether they be bottles, cans, boxes, or anything like that, which, even though there might be mutter ways to do it, it's for sure advisable to open everything in advance and not rely on the heterium of opening them on Shabbos. So therefore, preferably this on your list of your to-do list for Erev Shabbos. It's brought down as a mitzvah for a person to check his pockets. L'mashmash b'kelav, that means to check your clothing wherever there might be something that could be attached to it in a way that it would be not allowed to carry out on Shabbos. If you live in a place where there's no Eruv, there's a reason to check your pockets so that you don't end up going out the house with something in your pockets. And even if there is an Eruv, there's still a mitzvah to check your pockets, because maybe you have muktzah in your pockets and you don't want to carry the muktzah around, and therefore you can take it out beforehand. An interesting question, if a person did leave it in his pockets, according to most opinions, it could be it's only an issur d'rabbanan. So why do we have a mitzvah to do something to avoid a rabbanon. It sounds like a gzera. But the rabbanon in and of itself is a protection against not coming to do a daraisa. So to make an extra stage beforehand to protect you from a rabbanon sounds like a double rabbanon. The answer is that since it's very easy and possible to check, so then it's not a question of we made gzera, it's a question of being, it's available and easy, so therefore one should get into the habit of checking one's pockets before Shabbos comes in. Someone who Rachman al Nitzlan is sitting Shiva on a Friday, he's knowing the din avelus and mamish till close to Shabbos comes in. If that happens, but Rosh Hashanah has to out to when, at which stage do they change into Shabbos clothing and get up off the floor, off the low, sitting low, etc. But essentially the halachos apply right till close to Shabbos coming in. Someone who is not well and needs to eat on Yom Kippur, the right thing to do on Erev Yom Kippur is to prepare shiurim, meaning you should know what the amounts are, have availability of a watch so you can time the Gedei Achilas Pras. You should have containers or pre-measured food. You should be familiar with the different sizes so you can have this or not have to do this on Shabbos. Someone placing an advert into a newspaper, even if it's a newspaper published by Goyim, should not put it in a way that it will be published on Shabbos. It should help have it done in a way that it's not going to be published on Shabbos. If a person needs surgery and you can choose the timing of the surgery, like elective surgery, and it's not going to be detrimental to his health to change the exact date, so then you should avoid having surgery on a Wednesday, a Thursday, or Friday, because very often within the days following surgery, the after-surgery care might involve something that includes Chilul Shabbos. The person is in a state of Sakonas Nefoshes, and therefore certain treatments need to be given, and therefore it's mutter to do on Shabbos, but why put yourself into a situation where you rely on a heter of Sakonas Nefoshes in order to allow you to do that? Therefore, we say that it's not correct to have such a procedure done if you can avoid it. So if a person is going to have his wisdom teeth, don't have it done on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. If it means that he might have to do some medical procedure on Shabbos, rather have it done on a Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. Even if it means that you still got to do something, say, 7 days later, so therefore it doesn't make a difference. You still have to do something on Shabbos. But when done on the 3 days prior to Shabbos, that looks like you don't take Shabbos into account. When it's done in the first 3 days of the week, then you don't need to think about what's going to be in the Shabbos coming. A different case would be if a bris milah is on Friday. If it's the 8th day, then obviously there's nothing to discuss. You do it on the 8th day. But what happens if it's not the 8th day? The bris was pushed off for whatever reason, and now the child is healthy again, and you want to do the bris on a Friday. So you say, if I do the bris on a Friday, I might have to do some after bris care on Shabbos, which might compromise my Shmir Shabbos. And there we're going to say no, because the bris needs to be done as soon as possible. And therefore, even if it means that you're going to, you might do something on Shabbos that requires relying on a heter of doing a refuah on Shabbos, nevertheless, you may do the bris on time. And one more halacha, a moel who is asked to do a bris on Shabbos in a distant community, a distant place, and he has to be away for Shabbos, and might be in a place where there's no minyan and he's not going to hear tzkir shofar or whatever it is, should ask the shayla whether he should go or not. But generally speaking, we say he does go, because if it means the bris is going to be on time on Shabbos, that's the correct thing to do. In extenuating circumstances, there's what to discuss. Therefore, we're not going to give a psak, but we'll say he should ask a shayla. And with that, we come to the end of this section. And as I said, next week in Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue with Hadlokas. We're wishing everybody a wonderful.
Thank you. You too.